Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Iron Brew Podcast. Brad Mile, Matt Blanchard on this one. So I think let's start this episode where we ended last one, and that's with the takeover talk. So in the last couple of days, there's been interviews on Radio Humberside with Sharp, with Elliot and Turnbull as well. He's had a statement about it. And I guess lots of positive stuff out of that, of course. But I think all three of them mentioning that, you know, we're in due diligence period. There are a few hurdles to get over. The fact that this is all public and it's out in the open and there's been those statements and everything, I'm still, you know, pretty confident this is all going through. But just hearing that, there's a slight seeds of doubt in my mind that, you know, something could slip up with this. But yeah, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's been good to hear from them all really over the weekend and kind of just get a handle on where things are. I think obviously the main priority was getting the wages paid and, you know, I think a lot of credit's got to go to Ian Sharp for getting that done. And, you know, that was kind of the first thing that had to happen, really, because it sounds like if that didn't happen, you know, we were potentially looking at no club. And I think he did say, you know, we were a couple of hours away from that happening, which is, you know, it's unthinkable, really. But I think, you know, we all had a feeling that it was getting to that stage where something had to happen. And thankfully it did. Obviously, Ian stepped up and managed to get everything sorted and get the players and staff paid. Obviously, a really important time of the year and everything that's going on. I think that was, critical, really, that happened. So, fair play to him for that because, you know, it's not pennies, is it? You know, he's put in a considerable amount to get that sorted. So, obviously, that's the first thing. And then, looking at sort of where they are now, obviously, it sounds like they're in the due diligence period. I guess they're just going through the books and looking at sort of where we are, what kind of shape we're in financially. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. But I did notice in the interview with Humberside at the weekend, Ian was quite, to me, made it quite clear that they'd agreed a price for the stadium. And then obviously he didn't really suggest that they'd agreed a price for the club as such, but I guess that's going to be, you know, there's probably going to be negotiations after the period of due diligence. You know, I'm sure there'll be negotiations with Swan about the actual price for the club. But obviously, at the moment as well, it does sound like that it's just the stadium and the club that they're looking to secure, and then, you know, moving forward, look at the land around it, and then, you know, maybe that will be part of the deal in time. But I think, as I said, it's crucial that we got the other sorted. And hopefully, you know, they did seem fairly confident, even though, you know, there is the period of due diligence to go through. They were still hopeful that, you know, everything will go through. So I think maybe we was a little bit premature with the celebrations last week, but I think it was just a relief, really, that, you know, something had happened and the wages were paid. And, you know, that was key. And we're just obviously pleased that there's still a club to support. That's the main thing. And hopefully they can get that done and get it over the line as soon as possible, because, you know, we are in a bad situation. We need players through the door, and we need a manager through the door. And you know, the sooner that's done, then the sooner they can focus on these things. Because, I mean, it was kind of suggested that Nelson would be in place until that period was over and, you know, the deal had gone through officially.
Yeah, we talk about players there, and we have seen some slight movement this week as well. Not that significant, but it's interesting that players are starting to go. So, you know, Elliot Whitehouse, he's gone on loan to Spennymoor Town for a month. I think not necessarily surprising that he's moved out, given that he seemingly has been out of the team for a long time. I think it's quite clear he's fallen out of favour for one reason or another. So, yeah, I guess to see him go is not a massive surprise, but it speaks to the sort of bigger picture that we're starting to see some movement now.
I think so. As you say, not really a surprise that he's gone. Not really given much chance, to be honest, this season. So whether something's happened behind the scenes or, I mean, we don't know, do we? We can only speculate on that. But I think probably the best move for him, because he was just not even making the squad at, you know, most weekends. So good to get him some game time. But I do think it's probably a bit of an indicator of you know, where we are in terms of being able to bring players in. So I understand that we're under some kind of embargo from the National League. And that's probably why White House hadn't gone out previous, because obviously if we can't bring any players in, he was fit, you know, he's played for Spennymoor this weekend. So he was probably an option there just in case, you know, we needed a couple of the midfielders got injured and he would have come back into the squad. So to me, that suggests that, you know, we might be in a position now to be able to bring players in, whether it be on loan or whether there's funds available. I think obviously it's imperative, really, we get some players in sooner rather than later. You only have to see Saturday's game, you know,
yeah.
Kind of, okay, we're playing, for me, the best team in the division. But it did show, you know, how short we are and how, you know, far away we are from being a decent side at this level. So, yeah, I think hopefully it's the start of some movement in and out. Yeah, we'll see what happens in the next few weeks.
And another one, actually, that we should probably mention is there's been talk sort of on Twitter again, hasn't there, about is it a renewed interest in Nuttall as well? Obviously, we had the Oldham situation a couple of weeks, months ago, you know, and he wanted to stay here and ultimately did stay here. We've talked about January approaching and, you know, he's a player that we expect there might be interest in and seemingly Oldham's coming back again.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's come from their end, hasn't it? That I think they've renewed interest and they've offered him improved terms. I think that was kind of the how it fell down last time, that he wasn't happy with the offer on the table. I think their manager at the time had said it was a really good offer. You know, obviously didn't go into detail, but I think we could probably imagine it's a lot more than he's getting here. Obviously, Oldham, their takeover's gone through, but it's not really working for them. And I think they seem to be getting a little bit desperate and they seem to be signing players all the time. I think every time I look on Twitter, they've signed someone else. So, yeah, whether he sees that as a positive move, I think they're just one place above us in the table. But obviously, it would be a bit nearer to home for him. You know, that might come into his thinking. But I do think if he was going to go or he wanted to go, he probably would have gone last time. So obviously, he'd had a few sort of run-ins with the fans here. The offer was accepted at the time and he chose to stay. So he probably doesn't think that Oldham is necessarily a forward step for him, for his career. And it'll be interesting to see what happens now. I think from our point of view, I was kind of against selling him last time. I was surprised that I accepted the bid. I understand why they did. Obviously, they needed the money just to cover the wages and things like that. But I was disappointed that we were in that situation where we had to sell someone who'd scored the vast majority of our goals. However, you know, as it stands now, if he wants to go, you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, if we can get that money in, and we can reinvest it in other areas, then that might actually be, you know, the way to go. He's going to go in the summer anyway, I would imagine, for free, because he's out of contract. So I think it's one of those you've got to weigh it up. Is it worth cashing in? Can we reinvest that in a couple of other players that's going to help us and strengthen us elsewhere? If the answer's yes, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's moving on. I think it just comes down to whether he wants to go to Oldham or, you know, maybe wait 3 or 4 weeks and see if someone at a higher level or higher up the National League come in for him. Because, I mean, Oldham, traditionally decent-sized club. However, you know, they're in a really bad situation and the new ownership there hasn't really managed to turn it round. And, it's one of those where it's probably going to come down to a lot of factors for Nuttall, but I think he might hang on and see what other options are available. But for us, yeah, it would be a blow in terms of the goals he scored. I know he's not scored a massive amount from open play, but he's still the top scorer by some distance, and you obviously want to keep those players. But yeah, I think for me now, I'm kind of erring on the side that if we can get a decent deal for him, and get some other players in on the back of that, then that's good. But I think the other thing for me, I think I tweeted it last night, it appears as though the deal that was agreed, or the fee that was agreed in September, or was it September, October, is going to be the same fee. I mean, that was the kind of the noises that are coming out Oldham, that they've gone straight in and offered Nuttall an improved offer. Whereas, you know, they are in a desperate situation. I think they're struggling to sign another striker from Chester. They're trying to throw some money at it to try and get themselves out of the relegation zone. So I would have liked to have seen, and you never know, it might be the case, but I would like to have seen us kind of say, well, you know, we'll put the price up a little bit, and if you want him, this is the price. That's probably ideal. That would have been ideal for us in terms of we might have been able to get someone else in. But yeah, it does sound like we've just said, you know, if you can agree terms, then I guess he can go. And I think that probably shows where we are in terms of Turnbull, and you know, he's thinking he probably thinks he can utilise the money better elsewhere on a couple of different positions.
Yeah, well, let's look at the game then. So Notts County, as you say, it was always going to be a difficult one. You know, they are, I'd say, with Wrexham, as you said, probably the best team, and I think they were better than Wrexham. They look like they've got it all together, and you'd have money on them going up, really, wouldn't you, this season? But the gulf in class was, it was there for all to see. I mean, 4-1 being the final result, but it could have been so much more.
Yeah, I think it could. You know, I think the first sort of half an hour or so, we did okay. Obviously got the goal, which was really nice work from Beeston, and you know, he's done really well in the middle of the park, and for me, he was probably our best player by some distance on the day.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and actually I'd sort of even add to that in that I'd say that's more like the Beeston that we saw a couple of years ago when he first came in, you know, so before the injuries, before COVID, everything like that. That was the player that, you know, we had at the start, and it was great to see him sort of playing that sort of mode again.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, hopefully I think he obviously came off. I think they were saying he'd picked up a bit of a knock. Hopefully that's not too serious, because, you know, he does look as though on that performance, you know, against one of the best teams in the league, he was putting himself about, he was getting stuck in, and obviously the goal he created was a great bit of play. And yeah, as you say, that was more like the Beeston that we've been missing for so long, really. So yeah, hopefully he can stay fit, and I think he will be a big part. He'll have a big part to play for the rest of the season. But I mean, in terms of the game, I thought, you know, County, yeah, they were in total control really for most of it. You know, it felt a bit like a training game, I suppose, especially in the second half. I think they were just not going through the motions, but they were kind of just keeping us at arm's length really for that second half. And I think if they wanted to step it up, they could have done. And I know Nelson kind of went for a damage limitation approach in that second half and tried to keep it tight and tried to keep the score down, which, yeah, fans don't want to see. Fans don't want to see that. They want to see us having a go. But you can see it from both sides. He obviously doesn't want 6-7 against. However, yeah, it's a very difficult one, really, because if we had gone for it, you know, we put teams under pressure this season already. We look at the Wrexham game, probably the second best side in the league. We had them on the rack for sort of 20 minutes in that second half in that game. And I would like to see a little bit more effort, you know, just to try and get something going and try and put them under a bit of pressure. But ultimately, it was just too easy for them. And, you know, they took off a couple of their best players, didn't they, in that second half as well. And Langstaff went off, and Castro, I think. He looked a good player. And obviously O'Brien as well, who was here on loan. You know, he's the kind of player that would be perfect for us at the moment, just to kind of sit in front of the back four and, you know, sort of just be there to mop anything up and just do the simple things. Because I think we're just massively lacking in that midfield area. And I just think at times the gap between the midfield and the defence was just too large again. I know we've said, obviously, Beeston's had a good game. But yeah, it was just, we were just overrun. And there were just so much space really for Notts County. And as you say, it could have been a lot worse. I think we probably got off lightly at 4-1, and yeah, they definitely took the foot off the gas in the second half.
Well, I think the space was the key thing. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about the goals, the second one especially, when it's sort of down that side, it's crossed in and it just sort of waits, doesn't it? And he takes the shot, it's hit low, goes through about four or five players, but they just sort of stood there, you know, and that was the sort of thing for me. I think, yes, Notts County are a good team. I understand what you're saying about trying to keep the score down. Again, it's not going to be popular, but I think there's trying to keep the score down and then there's sort of not engaging in some tackles. You know, they did seem to be stood right off them. I think there was some fear there. I think there was obviously a difference in quality, but I think we feared them. And that allowed Notts County to do an awful lot of basically what they wanted to do and not even have to get out of second gear, as you say.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, they had far too much space. I mean, the O'Brien goal was kind of illustrated that point, didn't it? I think it was just to be able to shoot from there with none of our players within sort of 10 yards was, you just can't let players like that have that time and space at the edge of the box or, 25 yards out. It was just, it was poor from the start, really. I think the starting lineup was probably wrong. I think Ogle left back, he's been out for a few weeks, probably about a month now, hasn't he? Maybe 6 weeks. To throw him in out of position for me was a little bit odd. I think, you've got the players then, you could have still used those players slightly differently. I mean, why not play him at right back, and then or even centre back, because he did play well there a couple of games. You've got Young, who I think actually did okay. I don't want to criticise him. I think he was okay. I don't think he did necessarily anything wrong. Not any kind of big mistakes or anything like that. But I mean, we've thrown him in now against the two best sides in the league. They've got very good strikers, and it's just, you're throwing him in at the deep end. And I think you could have kind of shuffled that back five, differently. And obviously O'Malley on the bench, left back, a left-footed player. I know he's not been fantastic this year and up to maybe the standards that we expect from him, because we know we can do it. However, for me, it would have been made more sense for him to play left back and, shuffle the rest of the back five. That was kind of, a very poor decision, I thought, from Nelson before the game. And I think the other one we're probably going to mention as well is Apter, because he is our best player. I think there's no getting away from that. However, I think when he does play, especially in that free role, where I think he is best, I think that's when he can have more sort of impact on the game. The problem is it does leave that midfield very, very short. And there's gaps everywhere. And I think they ultimately exploited it, and that was it. And I think that's sometimes the case, isn't it, with your best players? Very hard sometimes to accommodate them. I think we've seen it in the past. I'm not saying McAtee was our best player at the time, but you've seen what he's done since. We struggled to get him in the side. And then, he's gone on and done really well at Grimsby, and he's ultimately got a decent move to Luton. And more than capable at this level and probably at League Two, but we very rarely managed to get him on the pitch in the right position. So,
I think we've seen it with a few players, haven't we? I mean, like Adelican as well springs to mind. How many times did we try him in different places?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, it is often the case that it is kind of your best players that you just can't seem to kind of accommodate them, or they don't quite fit into the style of play we're trying, or the formation that we're currently playing. And I think the problem is, I mean, he has contributed quite a lot of goals and quite a few assists. And if you take those out, I mean, we would have been in big trouble.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's one of those, you want to get him on the pitch because he's your best player. But at the moment, for me, in that formation, it just leaves us wide open. And I think teams like County, teams like Wrexham, are gonna just take advantage. And they did. And it's just one of those where it probably does need looking at. Is he going to be here in 3 weeks' time? I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Obviously, with him going back, whether we look to maybe the players that we are signing, whether we look at players that can play in the formation that a manager wants to play or the manager wants to play. But then, that obviously ties in then as well with the manager. Is it going to be Nelson? I don't think so. I think that's pretty unlikely. So we may sign players now and then in 3 weeks bring a manager in, 4 weeks bring a manager in, and be in a situation where we've got players that a manager potentially doesn't want. So it's a very tricky situation. I think we desperately need players. We need a manager. But for me,
flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
I think I would try and get a manager in place first and then let them be involved in picking the players that come in, because we've seen in previous years that situation can backfire.
I think one thing to note as well was that, listen, maybe the early kickoff played a factor in this. It almost certainly did. There wasn't the sort of mass influx of people that you might have been expecting from a takeover. I know it's not quite gone through yet. Notts County obviously brought a load. There's probably maybe, 300-400 more from Scunthorpe. But I did get a consensus on Twitter that, you know, for those that did come back, they were quite surprised seeing in person sort of how much we've fallen from the last time we were there. And I think it's quite clear to see that it's not just a case of, yeah, maybe we need a keeper and a centre back and maybe a winger or something like that. It's nearly a full new team that we're going to need.
Yeah, and whether that's realistic, I don't know. I mean, you look through the side, I think you probably do need at least 6, don't you? But whether they all come in at the same time, who knows? I think, you know, Simon and Ian have already said that they've not got massively deep pockets. So I think there's going to be some wheeling and dealing going on to try and get some players in. And, you know, there's no getting away from the fact that we definitely need them. I think people that haven't been in 3 or 4 years, even a couple of years, the standard has dropped off massively. And that's just where we are at the moment. But I do think you're right. I did expect a few more. Obviously, the early kickoff won't have helped. And, the deal was agreed quite late, really, in the week, wasn't it? I think there wasn't much notice. If people are working and things like that, you can completely understand that. But I think, you know, we said last week on the podcast, the fans have got to get behind them and they've got to kind of turn out and support Ian, Simon and the other investors, because ultimately that's the only way the club is really going to have any sort of power in the transfer market or anything like that.
I know there's already an offer announced, isn't there, for the is it the Woking game next Tuesday? Yeah. The home one. It's like season tickets can bring someone for a fiver again, and you know, that things like that do always go down well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's got to be more of that and some creative sort of marketing behind, once they do take over. And I'm sure they will. You know, I think there'll be some ideas there. And I've seen some floating around on Twitter, fans kind of giving ideas as well, which is great. But yeah, ultimately, people have got to get back and get through the turnstiles on a match day, because, the football is not great. The squad is poor. However, there's not a lot going to change unless people kind of boost the attendances. If we could manage to get another 1,000 on the gate week in, week out, then, you know, you think about that over the course of a season and how much money that brings in, you might be able to get a couple more players, 2 or 3 more players through the door for just, you know, 1,000 more fans. And I know it's not going to be as easy as that, because as we've said many times in the past, people have found other things to do. You know, they've kind of fallen out of love with the club and football in general, I think, over the past few years. Obviously, COVID and things like that, you know, we weren't able to go to games. And I think, obviously, there wasn't a lot to do during lockdowns, things like that. But people have just kind of lost interest. And I think Simon acknowledged it on Twitter over the weekend that the product has to be good to get the fans back, you know, the floating fans back. And that's not the case at the minute. So I think that is going to be the priority, because there's an understanding there that if the product and offer is good, then more fans are going to come through the turnstile to watch it. And at the moment, you know, on that showing at the weekend, I know we're playing the best team in the league, you know, I don't think there's going to be a rush for people to be buying tickets for the Woking game, for example. But you know, that's just where we are, and you know, yeah, fans are just going to have to get through the turnstile, because at the end of the day, that could make the difference between you know, the takeover going through and moving forward. You know, having some money in the pot to be able to bring in a couple of players, you know, we've seen teams like Grimsby, you know, massive boost to their attendances following the takeover, and they've been able to do some decent business and put together a decent side. So, yeah, it's fairly straightforward what needs to happen, really. And I think it's probably now a good time. You know, we'll have a good gauge of whether the fans actually want this club to be a Football League club again, and to be able to be successful again. Because staying away, I know the football's crap. It's not really worth the entrance fee at the moment. But you know, if the fans don't turn up, I think we're in a situation now where if the local consortium, you know, take over the club, they don't get the backing. You know, it's kind of use it or lose it sort of situation for me now. I think that's probably where we are. And you know, that they've done well to come in, save the club, which is fantastic. But they do need some help from the support, and hopefully they'll get that moving forward once the deal's concluded. You know, I've seen a few people say Swan's not gone yet. You know, he's still here. I'm not going until the deal's over the line. And I think there'll be a few with that kind of mindset. But I think once that is all done, you know, we've got to back them, because at the end of the day, they've saved the club, and you know, we need to do our part as well.
Let's just stay on the game just slightly before we go on to the next bit. I think the third goal is worth a mention. So obviously there is, it's this one. There's a bit of an error with Dewhurst there. The first shot, I think it's deflected, isn't it? So he's wrong-footed, and it sort of bounces off him. I think there's probably a decent shout for an offside on the follow-up, but obviously it's not given, and obviously you play to the whistle, don't you? For me, he's got to be doing a bit better on that second one, because he is back up. I know he's slightly wrong-footed still, but yeah, it wasn't great.
No, it wasn't. I mean, the deflection was pretty key. There was one like that in the England match last night, actually, and obviously nothing came of it. But very similar, where Pickford was nearly wrong-footed, and it was the same. You know, it was a slight deflection. He was going the wrong way, and he's done okay with the first one, I would say, just to get something on it. But yeah, I think that is an area we need to strengthen as soon as possible. I just don't think he's up to the level. I think we're in a similar situation as we were with Watson. You know, I think he's Dewhurst getting a lot of criticism. We saw Watson receive quite a lot of criticism as well, and I don't think it really helped, you know, on pitch performances. And I think he could have done. He doesn't really get near any, does he, that are on target. They all seem to go in. And yeah, I think he probably could have done better with that one, and the last one as well. But again, the last one. If you look from there's a bit of a close-up view. I think Notts County tweeted, and there was another kind of deflection on that one, and he's got behind it. He stopped it from kind of going in initially, but yeah, just not great. And I think an experienced keeper is a must, really, because I think that will help the defence moving forward. And you know, we've not had an experienced keeper for so long, since Howard, really, and
It works both ways. It works both ways, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if you have a decent experienced keeper, it sort of hides your, you know, your faults in the defense. Equally, if you have a, you know, a strong centre back pairing, it can hide sort of, you know, your keeper, and it works sort of together like that. When you've got both that are not quite up to the level that you need, then you know, it's your issue, isn't it?
yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that must be top of the priority list. And you know, Dewhurst is obviously on loan. He may be a decent keeper in time. You know, he's still young. But I just think at the moment, because it's so disorganized in front of him, it's probably making him look worse. Like with Watson as well. You know, he did make a lot of mistakes. He wasn't fault for a lot of goals. But when what's in front of him is just so disorganized, just so easy to play through and play against, he's doing him no favors. So I feel sorry for him in a way, because it's just exactly the same as we've seen over the past couple of seasons. I just don't think it's going to change. And I think if we can get an experienced keeper in, and there's one available, It's got to be sort of number one for me before defenders or anything like that. I think if you sort the keeper out, you'd probably see an improvement in Boyce and Taft. And then elsewhere, I think a central midfielder, you know, someone who's just going to sit in front of that back four and, you know, give them a little bit of protection, a bit like Barraclough used to do. You know, that was a key signing at the time, and we just need someone in that mould. You know, we went and signed Musselwhite at the time, Barraclough, Crosby and, yeah, and that was it. And I think we're in a situation where we need something like that and a new spine.
Yeah.
But for me, yeah, goalkeeper and a central midfielder, definitely. And then I think we'd see a bit more improvement in the two centre-backs who, you know, Boyce has done okay at this level for a number of years. And, you know, Taft has also done okay League Two level. So, you know, they don't become sort of terrible players overnight. But I just think, as it stands, the team, it just doesn't work, does it? The players that are put out onto the pitch, there's just no organisation. And yeah, it's just kind of probably showing them in an even worse light than, you know, the players they are. And that's where we are at the moment.
I think before we sort of wrap up and look to end this, I think we need to mention Nelson a little bit. We've talked a bit about tactics and, you know, putting Ogle at left back and things like that and setting up to essentially not concede. You have to mention the interview afterwards with Humberside. I think it's something that's really split the fans. I know some are liking him coming out and saying sort of what he's saying. Others, it's sort of too personal, too in-depth. Just for those that haven't heard it, maybe just give a summary and what did you make of it?
He was honest. He was honest, don't get me wrong, but I think there's probably a time and place for that. And that's probably in the dressing room for some of the comments that he made. You know, I think he wasn't washing his hands of it. You know, I think, I don't know. For me, it just appeared as though he was saying sort of, you know, this is the team I've got. It could have been a cricket score and I've had to kind of do what I can with the players I've got to keep the score down. However, you know, I think the way he kind of, I've never really heard a manager go into that much detail about mistakes, and I think he went through the first three goals in really, you know, a hell of a lot of detail, sort of calling players out, saying what they've done wrong, you know, which is fine in the dressing room, I think, but I don't think that level of detail was required to the fans. You know, I think the fans know the errors that led to those goals, so I'm not sure whether that's really the approach I would be taking at the moment. But I mean, we've seen various different approaches from managers. You know, Hill never really criticised them after the game, did he? I think he said it's not going to do any good. I mean, that didn't work. I think the only manager really I can think really criticising players was Hurst a little bit. You know, he came out at times and was a little bit vocal after the game, certain games where we'd lost. But yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen whether it has any impact. For me, whether he's going to be in charge in a few weeks, I don't think he is. I really can't see it. And I don't think he's got what it takes really to turn it round. I think we do need a fresh face in place and someone with some new ideas. Obviously, he's been alongside Tony Dawes for a while. He changed it a little bit, didn't he? Obviously, he dropped O'Malley and maybe changed it around. Yeah, a little bit, but not really that much. And yeah, it remains to be seen whether it has an impact. But we've seen at times in the past where these players have been criticised and it often goes the wrong way, doesn't it? So
yeah,
be interesting to see the reaction at the weekend because that is obviously a must-win game.
Yeah, and I think it is definitely a must-win game, isn't it? Away at Yeovil at the weekend. Yeovil, of course, being one of the few teams that we have actually won against this season, being on the opening day. We've had must wins recently that we've failed to get anything from. I mean, do you think that adds to the pressure?
It does. I mean, you look at their home form as well. I think it's not great, but it's okay. And I think they've picked up a little bit of late because obviously they were really struggling at one point. Obviously not a very good side in this division, and it is a game that we need to go there and get something. That's just where it is at the minute. We've got to look at the teams around us and picking up points against them, because I think it's pretty clear that we're not going to be able to against some of the better teams like we've seen at the weekend. We're just so short on quality when we come up against those teams. And the fact that we're not making it difficult for them, which is, that's another thing which frustrates me a little bit, because we've seen other sides recently, do okay against Notts County, maybe get a point, things like that, keep it tight, especially away from home when they're having to go away from home. So that is disappointing that we just seem to be wide open and it could be any score. There's no, I don't know. Other sides seem to make it very difficult, especially on their own patch, and we just can't seem to do that. But I think, with the Oval, it's a different kind of game. But they will see it as, 3 points at home. And I think we've got to definitely get something, because we've seen other games come and go, kind of slip through our fingers with teams that we needed to win or get results against. And we've just not been able to do so. So it does kind of, make these games even bigger. But, I mean, you look at our away record, it's shocking, really. And I can't see us going there and getting anything. I hope I'm wrong. But with this squad of players, I think it's going to be another sort of long afternoon. And I think if we can get a draw, I think that's probably the best we can hope for, which is disappointing against a team that we've already beaten this season. We could have won that a bit more convincingly, I think, on the opening day. But it's just where we are. And until we get some players through the door, I just can't really see us winning any, to be honest. And that's the reality of the situation. But as you say, it is a must win, and we've got to go there. We've got to try and be organised, be a bit more tight at the back. And I think for me, I'd just like us to go there and maybe, a couple of units, a couple of banks of four, and just try and keep it tight. And, if we nick one on the break, great. But for me, the first thing I'd be looking to try and keep it tight and coming away with a clean sheet. I mean, that would be a massive step forward if we could do that. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think at games like this, we can't afford to lose it. I think that's the key thing. We don't want teams, Yeovil and the few teams that are just, the right side of the relegation zone to be kind of pulling away, because I think that's when we're going to be in real problems. And we already are, the table makes pretty grim reading, but I think if we allow teams like that to beat us and move further away, then it's going to, at some stage, it's going to be insurmountable. And I think we just can't afford that. So hopefully we can get a result, but tricky place to go, long trip. I'd take a draw.
Yeah. And I think just before we go, if you'll allow us, we'll just have a little bit of sort of personal news about this podcast. I know, Matt, you tweeted it out yesterday, didn't you? But I know not everybody is on Twitter that sort of listens to this. Just to thank you, really, for everybody that's listening, downloading. We've recently, in the last sort of 2 weeks, we've had over 4,000 downloads on our episodes, and we've ended up in the Apple charts for the UK football shows, and we've been at 45 yesterday. We're up to, I think, about 39 at some point today as well. Which, to say that's alongside all the professional ones like, The Athletic and Peter Crouch and TalkSport and all of that, and there's a World Cup on, the fact that this sort of Scunthorpe United show is up to 40 for football podcasts, that's massive, and that's down to you guys. So we really do appreciate everybody that's downloading and tuning in and listening to what we have to say.
Yeah, definitely echo that. We've maybe lost a bit of motivation. I think in the past I think people have noticed, very difficult to come on after games when we've been beaten every week. And, I think it's been nice in the past week to have a little bit of, more positive things to talk about. Obviously, the football at the weekend, not great. But I think in terms of off-field matters, I think there's light at the end of the tunnel there. And, hopefully we can get some wins to talk about, because they are few and far between. And, it would be nice to be a bit more positive. But, appreciate everyone that tunes in. Obviously, the numbers are crazy, really, for a team our size. Mm. 4,000 listens in the past couple of weeks. It's obviously more than the home gate. So, we appreciate everyone tuning in. And In the next few weeks, hopefully we can get some more in conversations done as
Yeah,
well, because I
definitely.
know that's something that everyone really enjoys. So we're trying to line a few up with a few players. So hopefully over Christmas and the new year, we can have some of those as well, because we enjoy doing those as much as you enjoy listening to them.
Yeah, and so thank you very much for listening to this, and as we just said, for continuing to listen, and we'll see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.